It's Friday and we're back with The Week on Dalal Street, a VT stock market podcast. Thank you for logging in. I'm Santosh Nair, and over the next 15 minutes or so, I'll be picking my colleague Anuj Singhal's thoughts on the market action during the week and also try to get him to crystal gaze a bit as to what lies ahead. Anuj, happy to have you here and good to be chatting with you again.
Santosh, it's a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you like every Friday, and good to be back.
Well, so Anuj, the rally we saw at the start of the week, that's not sustained. The Federal Reserve raised rates as expected, and its commentary on inflation should leave no doubts about its stance in the coming months. We are seeing a similar trend elsewhere, also central banks all raising rates. But still, if you speak to the people in the market, they feel the decoupling, India decoupling story still holds, and that eventually global investors will have no choice to put money into India. Now, you've been skeptical of the decoupling theory. Do you still stand by it?
Well, Santosh, you know, what I said was that it cannot happen that US market falls 30% and India rises 30%. So decoupling and recoupling, I think everything is coupled in this kind of a market. It's just that within the universe, some markets will outperform and some markets will underperform. India has been an outperforming market, and truth be told, even you know what felt like mayhem on Friday, how much did the market fall for the week? Not a lot. So the market is still resilient, but you know the theory which sort of really got me worried was that our market will keep going up regardless of what the US does, regardless of what the currency market does. The world does not function like that. We did receive a lot of ETF inflow over the last 1 month or so. And I think we have seen clear signs of selling now. In fact, if you take today's number into account, then month to date, we're turning negative. And I think the kind of volatility that you're seeing in the money market, especially dollar index, I think it just helps you if you just take stock of your portfolio and see the global risk off and ask yourself that, you know, if these are the stocks that you'll be comfortable holding on when the world goes through some kind of a meltdown. If there is a meltdown, that is. So I think that's the big question.
Well, we saw a similar trend in the rupee as well, Anuj. It began the week on a strong note, but the rally turned out to be short-lived. And so far, equity investors have been quite tolerant of the weakness in the rupee against the dollar. Now, do you feel the market could be getting a bit complacent here? What are you picking up speaking to people? And what's the level at which investors may sit up and say, wait, we could now be headed for trouble?
Okay, you know, Santosh, I'll tell you what. For the dollar rupee, the market's big worry is that RBI has been throwing in a lot, right? I think there was quite a bit of money which was spent by RBI to defend
15 billion roughly.
15 billion. That's a lot of money to defend this level, and it was sort of not defended. So what happens when you know the market starts to collapse globally, the dollar index that is starts to collapse globally. I think you're seeing that, and at some point you have to take a call that, you know, do you keep spending your forex reserves or do you let rupee take its own chart? You know, the rupee has still outperformed. If you look at other currencies, for example, like the Japanese yen or a couple of others, I think they are rank outperformers. But it's just that, you know, when you start to go towards 81, 82, it's bad optics. And I think, so that's a bit of a catch-22 situation right now, I think, on the currency. And I think that is also another reason that a bit of an algo trade played out where the financials went through quite a bit of decline.
And Anuj, you've been a bear on the IT sector for a while now. And some interesting development this week, Wipro deciding to act tough with Moonlighters. But the broader signal here seems to be that IT companies no longer are in a mood to indulge their employees, as has been the case till some time back. And already we've been also hearing of companies docking variable pay, which could probably mean that companies may not be as worried about attrition as they were in the recent past. Now, you have the weak rupee, which is a positive for exporters like IT. But at the same time, you also had the underwhelming FY23 guidance from Accenture, which analysts say could spell trouble for Indian IT companies. So how do you piece these various bits together?
Well, Santosh, first, you know, for starters, I am aghast by this whole moonlighting thing. I think sacking is okay, but I think there should be some criminal action. Again, you can't do that. I mean, this is against basic integrity. I mean, this is
that won't make you popular with millennials.
That is okay, Santosh. I don't take pride in being popular. I take pride in being, you know, someone with integrity. So, I mean, you can't do this. You know, you and me both have been professional for the last 20 years, more than that, actually. It's just wrong. It's plain wrong. But anyway, that's a different issue. Look, I think I've presented some data in my editor's roundtable as well, and I think it's available for everyone to see. IT companies, and I've been a bear on IT for last some time. I've made this point, though, Santosh, that tactically you will keep having very powerful rallies in between in IT, and if you know how to catch them and how to play them, you will make a lot of money. But the bigger money would be made if you remain positionally short on IT, and that's been the case for the last 6 months when I said that, you know, the Indian IT bull market is over. And the reason for that is the Indian IT stocks got ballooned up because of ultra low or zero interest rate environment. When you have zero interest rate environment, you give higher and higher multiples to companies where the growth is visible. Growth was visible in IT. All of that was vicious circle. Companies started hiring more. They started paying double the salary because they were getting more than that from the clients. And now that tap has reversed. So now companies, the same employees which the companies were hiring at 200%, now feel like liability, right? And now the companies feel, okay, let me get some cheaper talent. The US companies, fearing recession, fearing slowdown, cut down. IT is a discretionary spend. You start to cut down when you see trouble. And I think that leads to margin pressure, which we saw last quarter. And I think this quarter, you will see for a couple of companies, pressure on the top line itself. And I think when that happens, when the margins for these companies are already below pre-COVID levels, why should the valuations not go back to pre-COVID levels? In some cases, it's pretty much there, like HCL Tech or Tech Mahindra. Infosys is getting very close to that. But I think another 10-15% maybe, and then I think you will have some real value emerging in some of them. I think some of the mid-cap IT stocks, Santosh, still need to correct another 30-40%. Again, that's something which will not make me popular, but I don't care about that. I say what I see, and I see more decline for IT stocks.
Well, Anuj, the pressure on top line that you referred to just now, do you see that happening in the second, third, fourth quarter? Because most companies have said that they don't see any problem as far as the rest of the fiscal is concerned.
Yeah, let them say that right now. Who knew, Santosh? Look at what FedEx stock did. FedEx is a big client for a couple of these IT companies. I mean, if let us see the commentary of the IT company. I think in this quarter itself, my sense is you will start to look, Santosh. Nobody knew that the US will go through the general belief was first inflation is transitory. Then the belief was that okay, Fed's terminal rate will be this. Then the belief was that next year Fed will start to cut rates, and that the recession would be very short. None of this is proving to be right, right? And the biggest fear is the last one, the recession would be mild and short-lived. What if that is not the case? I think I've seen this play out before, Santosh. I don't know if you remember the 2004, I think it was, or, you know, when...
2001-2, I think. So that is when they...
2001-2 was there, but there was one more instance, yes, I think, in 2004 stocks had fallen. Yes.
I think Infosys had come out with a warning.
Profit warning, and the stocks and some of the IT stocks had fallen 40-50%. So yeah. I think let's see. Let's wait it out and let's see what companies have to say.
Well, Anuj, bank stocks took quite some beating today. Now, we know that these stocks have run up quite a bit and some cooling off was in order. Now, what's the near-term picture looking like? If you're invested in banks, should you still be holding on to those positions, especially some of the smaller names?
Absolutely. I think I still believe, Santosh, and I would still want to give this market benefit of doubt. And I think if you still get away with, say, 17,200, 17,240 kind of zone, maybe even intraday basis break 17,000, but then come back above it. I think my sense is that the market still, the larger uptrend is still intact. We are still in some kind of a bull market for India. And I think and in that case, financials will lead it. I think if the Nifty has to go to 25,000, it can't do that without Bank Nifty going towards 60,000. Okay, so I think financials will lead it. It's just that it became too much of a consensus trade. It became a very overcrowded trade. Almost everyone and anyone started to buy banks. And I think it was a bit of a parabola. I mean, I was making this point last week as well, while I kept in my top 10 saying about ICICI Bank and SBI, with the knowledge that, you know, these stocks are really now in some kind of a parabola, and they can correct 10-15% and still be in a massive bull market. So I think there I still give benefit of doubt.
Let's talk about some of the individual stocks. Mahindra and Mahindra Financial, a big loser today after the RBI said that they could not use third-party recovery agents to collect loans. A pretty tragic incident there witnessed last week. Now, how does this impact M&M in the short term, given that this was a stock where many brokerages had turned bullish in the last couple of months, and the stock had been doing well till this news hit?
first of all, you know, real tragedy, and tells you that, you know, human life sometimes has so little value. But I'll tell you one thing. I am a romantic of price action. For me, nothing matters more than price action. And with one thing with M&M Financial Services is that with all the talk about the its problems, the stock, I mean, just doesn't crack. I mean, it doesn't rally a lot, but it beyond a point, every time it slips around a certain level, it sees a lot of buying. And I think anecdotally, if you buy M&M Financial Services, whenever there's an accident and the stock corrects 20-30% in one go, over the next 2 or 3 quarters, it reclaims all of the lost ground. You know, if I was a betting person, I would bet my money on the same happening again, unless the market proves me wrong otherwise. It's a maverick kind of a stock. I've never understood it. Why, you know, despite so such a high NPA, it still commands the kind of interest that it does. Maybe it's because of its pedigree being in Mahindra Group. That maybe helps. But, you know, as I said, the price action in the past, if it is anything to go by, I would still bet on this stock, perhaps reclaiming the losses.
And Anuj, what do you make of Tata Steel's decision to merge all the companies, all the metal companies of the group with itself? What does it mean for Tata Steel shareholders? And what about the investors in other companies? Because typically these mergers also, besides other integration issues, it also consumes a lot of management bandwidth. So how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think in case of Tata Steel, clearly there was synergies in terms of the royalty payments and all. I think that will be streamlined, Santosh. You know, of course, there was TRF where there was clear case of front running. If that's a strong word, maybe, you know, some whisper buying which happened here. And
the stock rose, tripled in price in the
absolutely.
Last 2 months. So
absolutely.
I think nothing else can explain
absolutely.
That.
And I think to get to the fair value, it now needs to become half. It will do that over the next 12 trading sessions, because the price, the circuit filter here is 5%. So do enjoy the lower staircase formation in the stock over the next 12 days or so. But I mean, for the rest of the stocks, I think if one had to buy Tata Steel, you could buy Tata Steel, right? If a Tata Spawn shareholder wanted to buy Tata Steel, he could buy Tata Steel from the market. So I think that's a call that individuals need to take, because, you know, sometimes you bet on some of the ancillaries more than the base metal itself. For Tata Steel, yes, a bit of a synergy. But look, I think, Santosh, you know, this news will be done and dusted in 2 days. That's it. After that, you will move to what's happening to steel cycle. I think for me, that is more important, because if this is what the dollar index is going to do, in that case, commodities have little chance of having a big rally. Okay. And if the US goes through recession plus this strong dollar, you can kiss commodity rally goodbye. So I think in that case, you know, I'll be worried about Tata Steel breaking its recent lows. It got a bit of a current because of the X bonus and X split move. But remember, its peak, from its peak, it's still down some 30-40%.
Yeah, it made that sometime in August last year, and it's been quite some time now. Cement, another stock on your bearish list, Anuj, and many of the stocks took quite a beating this week. How does the picture look now? Has anything changed in terms of your view?
Well, Santosh, you know, I'll just say I was not bearish on cement. I was just worried about the bubble in cement. You know, my sense is that some of the cement stocks from here on as well will make you good money. My worry was about the kind of stocks in the broader market. Case in point, Nuvoco, I think Sanghi, there was, I think, Heidelberg. I think there were a lot of them where the market had, all of a sudden inflated these stocks by 40-50%, assuming that each and every company will be bought over. That is not the case. That's not going to happen tomorrow. So I think it was more of a cautious call. I'm still not bearish on the sector. I was bearish because the price had gone up a lot. And I think if these stocks correct 20-25-30%, there's a structural bull market in play for cement over the next 2-3 years because of the India story. Make no mistake about that. And I think there will be a couple of companies which will actually be bought over. So you will have to choose. But I think overall, it's not, just buy any cement stock and assume that it will go up because someone will buy it. I was against that trade.
And during this week, Ford had warned that profits could be hurt by inflationary pressures and shortages of vehicle parts. Now, auto companies in India have already been warning of semiconductor shortages and how the situation is still to be resolved fully. Also, we've been seeing some sluggishness in auto shares of late. Is it time to be taking some money off the table, Anuj? Of course, we do have the festive season here, which is usually always an improvement over the other months.
I think the easy money has been made in autos. I think it's the low-lying fruit has been plucked. Even then, I would say that autos from here on would be either market performers or outperformers. I don't see them being underperformers, Santosh, unless you know there's a global catastrophe, which none of us can predict. And I think the reason for that, as you said, whenever the companies struggle because of supply-side issues, if the demand is good, then you know you should not derate the stocks beyond a point, because there's always going to be, you know, once the supply side issues sort out, if the inherent demand is strong, companies will make up for that. So I think in that sense, that auto demand still remains quite strong. And I think we are in some kind of a nascent recovery stage. The stocks have run up a lot. I think from being under-owned about 1 year back, some of these are now getting into overbought category. So maybe some correction in line with the market is warranted. But I have no doubt in my mind that, look, Santosh, the next 5 years, in India will belong to manufacturing, capital goods, you know, all these automobiles, basically all the stuff which is made for domestic consumption and consumed in India. That is going to be the big story of the next 5 years.
Okay, Anuj, so last question. So key things on your watch list for the week ahead. We, of course, we have the RBI policy meeting coming up, but besides that,
RBI policy to begin with will be most important because, you know, will the RBI also follow the other central banks? I think it has no option. The money market has already indicated a rate hike, Santosh. It's actually already signaled a rate hike. If RBI has to follow, because otherwise that decision has no meaning. The bond market has already, you know, factored in a rate hike. So that's something we'll keep an eye on. I'll keep an eye on dollar. Santosh, if the dollar index has to go to 115, 116, I think you can kiss any equity market rally goodbye. But if the dollar index cools off and this was just a bit of a scare more than anything else, then I think things will again start to perk up a bit. So keep an eye on the dollar.
Well, thanks so much for all those insights, Anuj. I'm sure our listeners would have enjoyed listening to you. And hope you have a great weekend ahead.
Thank you, Santosh. I hope the listeners really found it useful, and always good to talk to you, and to you and all our listeners, a very happy weekend.
Well, that's all that we have in this edition of The Week on Dalal Street. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful weekend ahead.